Happy New Year. Yep, it's New Year's for our friends upstairs. Rosh Hashanah. And what's the there we go. We okay now? All right. God's got a sense of humor. We got the Christians downstairs beginning tonight the Song of Solomon. The Jewish people upstairs are celebrating New Year's. And one of the Christian guys from this fellowship, who is from Syria, is up there telling people how to get inside the temple. So how God's got a great sense of humor. Yeah. A couple of announcements for you. Let's see, men's discipleship class. Tuesday mornings, if you missed it, had a great turnout, great time. Up here in the teen room, 10 power principles of Christian discipleship, Christian service. 7:30 in the morning, we just go up there for an hour going through a great book by Warren Wiersbe. If you haven't signed up yet, I think we got 3 books left, so you're welcome to join us Tuesday mornings, and it's a real good book. Also, women's conference. Raul Reese's Church, Calvary Chapel, Golden Springs. Tetelestai is the name of the conference. For $47.50, you can get an overnight room, and for $20, you can attend the conference. Otherwise, it's just $20 per person if you want to drive out there early in the morning yourself. It starts at 8 a.m., so you'd probably have to leave here about 6 to get there on time. But it's going to be a great conference. One day, September 21st, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., it should really be good. Also, the NCIC Bible study that's here on Friday night will not meet. The following week they will, but there's no Bible study this Friday night. If you show up, there'll be a note on the door that it's canceled this week. So we had a lot of people sign up for Israel. If you would like to go to us, go to Israel with us next fall. We're just trying to get an idea on how many people want to go. And I think we've got over 50 people already that want to go to Israel. And so sign up. We'll get more information for you on the dates and the price and all. We just want to see how many people wanted to go. And it looks like there's a bunch of you that want to go to the old Jerusalem before we see the new one. So pretty exciting. If you need a Bible this evening, slip your hand up. Jack Stevens, our newlywed brother back there, has got some Bibles he's going to hand out. Him and his bride are here tonight. They want to hear the Song of Solomon. And so his nickname is Happy Jack, and he's now married to Happy Becky, and they're going to live happily ever after. Okay, Song of Solomon this evening. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you that we can meet in this place that you provided. What a miracle that the Christian believers are downstairs in the cornerstone of the building, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I pray, Lord, for those folks upstairs. Maybe they even heard some of our music tonight. We pray that their eyes would be opened, that you would remove the scales, and that they would see their Messiah. We're so grateful for them, Lord, because through the Jew, you've given us your precious word. And through the Jew, Lord, you came as the Savior of the world. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that somehow, some way, I know they read a lot of scripture verses there. I pray somehow, some way that you would speak to them through your word, that you would open their eyes, show them your truth. Tonight, I pray the same for us. Open our eyes, our hearts, show us your truth. Speak to us through your word. Show us what true love is in our relationship with you as well as in a marriage relationship. You designed marriage, Lord. It's a precious gift from you. It's to be pure. It's to be holy. We are to be sanctified and set apart unto you, Lord. And so tonight, speak to us through the Song of Solomon. What a wonderful song it is. It's a love song. So tonight I pray that through your word and through the power of your Holy Spirit that you would teach us. teach the single people maybe that are considering marriage, even teach us that have been married for a number of years. Lord, we never really arrive. It takes work. It takes the Holy Spirit. It takes instruction from you in order to enjoy all that you have for us in holy matrimony. And it is to be holy, Lord. And so tonight we pray that you would speak to us through your word. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read through the first chapter, and then we'll come back and see what the Lord has for us. And if we have enough time, maybe we'll do chapter 2 tonight. The Song of Solomon, verse 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, the Shulamite. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love you. Draw me away, the daughters of Jerusalem. We will run after you, the Shulamite. The king has brought me into his chambers. The daughters of Jerusalem, we will be glad and rejoice in you. We will remember your love more than wine. The Shulamite, rightly do they love you. I am dark but lovely. O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon, do not look upon me because I am dark, because the sun has tanned me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. But my own vineyard I have not kept. To her beloved, tell me, O you whom I love, where you feed your flock, where you make it rest at noon. For why should I be as one who veils herself by the flocks of your companions? The beloved, if you do not know, O fairest among women, follow in the footsteps of the flock and feed your little goats beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared you, my love, to my filly among Pharaoh's chariots. Your cheeks are lovely with ornaments, your neck with chains of gold. We will make you ornaments of gold with studs of silver, the Shulamite. While the king is at his table, my spikenard sends forth its fragrance. A bundle of myrrh is my beloved to me, that lies all night between my breasts. My beloved is to me a cluster of henna blooms in the vineyards of En-Gedi. The beloved, behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes, the Shulamite. Behold, you are handsome, my beloved. Yes, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. The beams of our houses are cedar, and our rafters of fir. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Tonight we begin a song. It's the Song of Solomon. Many people don't realize that it is exactly that. It is a song. Unlike our songs today, well, there used to be a time in America when songs rhymed. I listened to some of the music today. It doesn't even rhyme anymore. But my generation wrote songs that rhymed. And so when we have the English language here with the Hebrew translation, it does not rhyme, of course. In our language, but it does rhyme in thought. And so tonight we're looking at this beautiful song. This is not a historical book or part of the law, nor is it from the prophets. It's actually included in the wisdom and poetry section of God's Word in the Old Testament. It is a beautiful song. It is Solomon's song. It's a song of purity and holiness, and the physical relationship between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. And oh, how we've drifted from God's standard and God's precept, not only in our nation today, but throughout the world. And I'm kind of glad we're in this book. I think this is a very timely book for the church. Because how many of us have really drifted from the way that we love one another in our marriage relationship as husband and wife? We need to always, even as Jesus told the church in Revelation, go back and do our first works. Don't forget those things, guys, that won her heart. Sometimes we forget that after the I do's that we are to continue to do, and how often today in marriages it's I don't anymore. And it's not supposed to be that way. Marriage is a gift from God. Same with the ladies. We are to, both husband and wife, speak to one another with words of endearment, tenderness, words of love, words of kindness and gentleness. And I would hope that this would bring us as married couples back to where God would have us in our relationship. I'll tell you what, I'm busted. I'm learning a lot this week because I got to spend hours poring over God's word before I give it to you. And I read it and prepare it and study it, then I give it to you, and then I go home and put my head on my pillow and I hear it again, over and over. But maybe I need it more than you. And I'm thankful to God that he allows me to study his word and to be reminded of these tremendous precepts that God has laid forth in his holy book. It's Solomon's song, the Song of Songs. As a matter of fact, if you remember back when we were in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32, it told us that Solomon had not only written over 3,000 Proverbs, which we've only got a few, as we not too long ago went through the book of Proverbs, but he also wrote 1,005 songs. 1,005 songs. And God has only given us one, the Song of Solomon that we have before us here tonight. And so we have a small portion of his Proverbs given to us by the Holy Spirit in Scripture, and out of the 105 or 1,005 songs, we have the one that is here before us tonight. This book, you know, I thought Revelation was hard to teach, but this book is considered by many Bible teachers and scholars the hardest book in the Bible to teach. So you know what? I'm out of here. I'll see you guys later. It's by faith that we open God's word and read it and study it and present it. I'm just praying that God would give me wisdom and knowledge and insight to what he has before us. And you know what I find with God's word? No matter how hard we study and we really want to prepare a good meal for the sheep, God's word is so deep, oftentimes we only scratch the surface. But it's enough to minister to our hearts and to teach us and to lead us and to guide us. And so the Song of Solomon is considered one of the most difficult to understand, not because of the inspiration, but oftentimes the interpretation. We found that as well, going through the Revelation. I promised when we went through it, I wouldn't speculate, I wouldn't sensationalize, and oftentimes guys just get carried away in teaching God's word, rather than the old KISS acronym, Keep It Simple, Saint. And I think it's important to keep God's word simple. As I shared Sunday, simple enough that a baby can wade in it, deep enough that an elephant can bathe in it, and that's the way God's word is. The carnal Christian will often misunderstand and misinterpret this book. Try to make it steamy, if you would. You know what I mean? And that's not God's intent here. God wants to really show us the depth and the purity and the holiness and the intimacy of the marriage relationship, especially in the physical part. We're going to see a lot of things here tonight, I believe, and through the rest of this book that are going to really, I believe, purify our hearts and mind in our marriage covenant. I think that's important. Look what the world has done to even that word love. And look what they've done to marriage. They've made it dirty. They've made it, you know, filthy according to their standards. But love is pure before God. God is love. That's what Scripture tells us. God is love. And how dare them tarnish even the name of God and the wonderful gift that he has given us. He has showed us how to love. How many of us here are singing the old country western song, or were singing it, looking for love in all the wrong places? We were looking in the wrong place. This is where we should look. If you really want to know what love is all about, God covers it here. And that's what I love about his word. He covers, you know, everything, every question you may have. He gives us all that pertains to life and godliness in his word. And so the last thing a person wants to do is to read this as a dirty book or a steamy book, or to misinterpret what God has given us through the Holy Spirit here tonight. It's a pure book. It's a holy book, it's a spiritual book, and we must not interpret it with the flesh. It's a beautiful book, it's a song. I find it interesting and amusing that the Jews would not permit young men under the 30, the age of 30 years to read this book. They were afraid it would, you know, overstimulate them, if you would. They were so afraid that, you know, their genes would get out of whack or whatever takes place. They actually felt that there was the danger of reading into it suggestive and sensual and sexual things. But you know what? Again, if we approach it with a pure heart and a pure mind, it's a beautiful book. The book actually upholds the purity and holiness which God designed in holy matrimony between the bridegroom and his bride. Now, this beautiful song also carries with it a fourfold meaning. And this is where we're going to kind of look at it, at oftentimes one of these fourfold ways. Number one, of course, the Song of Solomon declares the sacredness of wedded love in the marriage covenant. And as I often share with you, marriage before God is a covenant, not a contract. Too many people today get married thinking it's a contract. A covenant is based on trust. A contract is based on distrust. And so when you make that holy covenant before God, which is the wedding vows, and God will hold you to that covenant. As a matter of fact, Solomon in Ecclesiastes said not to make an oath or a covenant hastily because God will hold you to your word. And that's what the marriage is all about. And whenever I meet with a couple for premarital counseling, I always let them know that the most important part of the wedding, it's not the gown, and it's not the tuxedo, and it's not the wedding cake and throwing the garter and all that stuff. Those things are good. Those things are cool. But the all-important part of the wedding ceremony is that covenant before God. Those vows that you take, that is the wedding, the vows that you take one to another before holy God. And that's what Solomon talked about back in Ecclesiastes with that three-strand cord, the husband, the wife, and they are wrapped in that third strand, the Lord. And that's what it means to have a marriage covenant. And so the first of the fourfold meaning has to do with the marriage covenant. What love really is. The fulfillment, the satisfaction that is found in the hearts of a devoted husband and wife. And that's another thing that we find very little of today, even in the church. Husbands and wives that are truly devoted to one another. I mean devoted, committed to one another. The second way that we'll look at this wonderful song is a picturesque picture of the love that God has for Israel. Because Israel in the book of Hosea is called the bride of God, the wife of Jehovah. Thirdly, this song is a beautiful picture of Christ and his church. If you read Ephesians chapter 5 and Revelation chapter 21, it presents the church as the bride of Christ. And so we can see the intimacy of Christ with his church, even in this beautiful song, the Song of Solomon. Fourthly, the song portrays the love of Christ for the individual believer in our communion with him. We are married to him. He's given us the Holy Spirit as the engagement ring. We are engaged to Christ. We are sealed for the day of redemption. And it's a beautiful picture, again, that we see here in this beautiful Song of Solomon. Now, our first chapter tonight, in a sense, is like a Cinderella story. And I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, know what the Cinderella story is. Tonight we'll find this Shulamite girl. She's kind of like a country girl from the town of Shunem. This is an area that was occupied by the tribe of Issachar, one of the 12 tribes. And it's a short distance from a place called Jezreel. She, again, was what we would call a country girl. She was very plain. She was a hard worker. Verse 6 tells us that her brothers treated her cruelly, making her keep the vineyards, meaning that they were making her do all the work. Her skin was dark from spending so much time out in the hot desert sun. She was very dark. She was, very, very tan. According to the last part of verse 6, she was unable to keep her own vineyards. And in Hebrew, that's a twofold meaning, meaning that she had a vineyard of her own that she had a hard time keeping up. And it also talked about her inability to keep her own life in order, meaning that her hair was probably in a ponytail or something, just pulled up, and, she didn't have her makeup on, whatever it might be. Her vineyard, her own personal grooming needs is what this refers to, meaning that she probably hadn't had a spa treatment in a while due to her ill treatment, no spa treatments. And so, but yet there was this beauty about her, this beauty that just radiated from her to the point where she drew the attention of this king, the beloved that we'll see here in this story. She had a natural beauty about her. And you know what, ladies? You Christian ladies, you have a natural beauty about you that the world knows nothing about. They spend a lot of time on the outside, but God is the one that changes the inside. And he instills within a Christian woman this beauty that radiates through her. And you don't have to go out and look like the world to win a man or to hook him, whatever it might be. Why? Because you know what? You know what happens? If you use carnal means to draw in a man, you are going to draw in a carnal man. And if you've got to draw him in with the flesh, you've got to continue to maintain that flesh. If you obtain it, you've got to maintain it, Chuck Smith has always said. And so the all-important thing is that you have a love for Christ and that you take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the same thing holds true to you guys. You know, you don't have to look like the world out there. It's so wonderful to just to be you the way God created you and to be filled with the Holy Spirit and have the joy of the Lord and have your priorities right and have your flesh under control. And should God bring you a Christian woman, and I do emphasize that term Christian woman because you're not to be unequally yoked. Same with you ladies. Don't look for a non-believing man. God will bring that perfect person to you, so that you can have a marriage like we're going to see here in the Song of Solomon. That's what God desires in your life, to have holy matrimony within your lives. That's God's wonderful plan. And so in those days, as we look at this lady here, this Shunammite woman, in those days, it was only the peasant girls who were sunburned. They worked out in the fields. They were really, really tanned. They were dark. It's amazing to me how many people try to get tan today. They lay out for hours in the sun and try to get a tan. This lady had a natural one. And it was only the wealthy ladies in those days, in the time of Solomon, that would stay out of the sun. They would pamper their skin with oils. And they would travel in caravans and on camels, if you would, with umbrellas, and they would cover their skin. And, you know, they were the ones, the wealthy, that would not dare get a sunburn. Yet one day, this handsome king, as we'll see in a moment, will come, the shepherd, who will fall in love with this Shunammite woman. And it is a Cinderella story. It's a beautiful story. And I often tell Christian ladies, you know, that are single, that oftentimes say, I wish that God would bring me that Christian man. And you know what I tell them? God brought Eve to Adam. And when you're ready, God will bring that man to you. You don't have to go on ChristianMingle.com. Now they got a Christian thing, or Harmony.com. I think God is able to bring you that perfect person, the perfect man, or that perfect woman for you men. And I think it's so important that you wait upon the Lord. And I'll tell you why. Because you are under construction. And until you are ready for his daughter, guys, you just stay about your father's business. And until she is ready for you and you're ready for her, you might as well just stay focused on the Lord. Ryan's not in here, so I can tell a little story about Ryan. Because Ryan, as a believer, wanted a Christian woman. You know, like most of you singles. And he waited and waited and waited. And I said, you keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. You serve here. You do the Sunday school and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, Lord, one day, all of a sudden, who pops up but Tara? And that's when Randy and I labeled them as Boaz and Ruth. And they were called Boaz and Ruth until they got married in holy matrimony. And they were both about their father's business. I think it's so important to wait upon the Lord. He knows that perfect person to bring into your life. And so here we see God's got a plan. Along will come this handsome king for this Shulamite woman, unsuspecting, tending to her brother's vineyards and, you know, trying to keep up with hers. Even in verse 8, it says she had a flock of goats. And when this handsome shepherd appears and they fall in love, we see this beautiful relationship that's being developed here by the power of the Holy Spirit. But we're going to see he has to leave and then he'll come back, as we'll see in the story. And he promised he would return. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Like the bridegroom Jesus Christ would leave and he would return. And his return wasn't as soon as she expected, yet one day, as we'll see, he returns, he comes for her and takes her for his bride and brings her into his chambers. How romantic, how pure, how holy this relationship is. And then again, what I love about this song is it's not a cheesy soap opera, it's not a miniseries, it's not a Desperate Housewife, but this is the way God intended it to be. God intended it to be this way according to his plan, a beautiful marriage. We're going to see this beautiful, innocent, holy kiss that indicates the existence of a pure, close, intimate relationship. How sad it is that even today, when it comes to a kiss, that oftentimes they're just thrown around to anybody and everybody today. You know, even a kiss, a tender kiss between, you know, the man and the woman, when God brings it together, something that's not to be wasted. It's something that should be pure and holy and intimate between the man and the woman. That's the way God intended it to be. At the end of the marriage ceremony, following the vows and the I do's, it's this special kiss that seals the marriage covenant. And that's why every marriage I've ever done, it's always, you may now kiss the bride, and it seals that covenant. And even in the sight of God, a kiss is a special thing. And so notice, it says, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Wow. For your love is better than wine. Now, even in those days, wine was treated differently than it is today. It was not abused like we see today. It was considered, even to most Jewish people, a blessing that brings joy to the heart. It was a time of celebration. And it says here that her kiss, his kiss to her, was better than wine. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Wow. To the Shulamite, his love brought more joy. His kiss brought more joy to her than wine did. It was a blessing which brought joy to her heart. And again, in our world today, even in the marriage covenant, why is it that we tend to lose the excitement of even a kiss? The romance oftentimes begins to dwindle in a marriage relationship. And I think it's so important, no matter how old you are or how long that you've been married, that a kiss is still a kiss, that you still have that flutter in your heart. Do you still hold hands? Do you still open the car door, or do you just say, get in, you know? And I don't do it just to impress you. I still open the door for my wife, and I still kiss her when I leave. I kiss her when I come home. You know, we still have that fire that burns. 38 years later, you know. It was even better after we got saved. It's amazing what happened. We got married in the world, but once Jesus Christ came into our lives, all of a sudden everything changed. Everything changed. And God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, gives us the ability to keep that romance going. And that is so important. You know, marriage is a special gift. And it takes work, both sides. We're going to see here some beautiful, beautiful terminology that Solomon uses. How you can almost smell the lilies coming from the page, and the roses, and the myrrh, and the frankincense. And guess what? And I'm not boasting. Last week, I came into the house smelling like roses and lilies. You know why? Because I spent $10 over at Ralph's, and I picked up a bouquet of roses and lilies, and I smell like a rose and a lily when I come into the house. I love to do that. I love just to, you know, part of the fun is standing in line at the market and hearing the comments they say. This one guy behind me says, well, you're either in the doghouse or you got a girlfriend. I said, no, it's called marriage. He says, I love my wife. It's called marriage enhancement. I've been doing this for 38 years. I didn't have the cinnamon bears. I usually get her some cinnamon bears too, because I know that's her favorite. But what is it going to take to hit her hot button? For you guys, you know? These are important. We, as guys, need to get our eyes off of ourselves. We are selfish. We're spoiled. I think it's about time we woke up and went back to the basic things that won her in the first place. But be careful. If you haven't done it in a while, she just might have a heart attack if you walk in the house with a bouquet of roses and lilies. Oh, my Lord, call 911. Get the paddles out. You know, cardiac arrest. It shouldn't be that way. Woo her, romance her. It's important. And you know what? The next time you give her a big smooch, kiss her with a kiss on her mouth that's better than wine. Blow her away, man. You know? One lady got offended months back. I had mentioned in one of my messages that you guys, man, you need to go and park somewhere and make out. She said, what? What? Where do you find that in the Bible? I said, Song of Solomon. You know? Didn't your heart flutter when you did it before? Remember the first date going to the show and you went to put your arm around her, almost got your arm broken? But now she lets you do it. She lets you squeeze her and smooch her and, you know, fan the flame. It's so important. And if your marriage has gone cold, I guarantee you it's because you're not doing what you used to do. Romancer. Proverbs 5:19. Love this. Written by Solomon. Solomon encourages the husband to let his wife's breasts satisfy him at all times. And some people can't believe the language sometimes. And it's a beautiful language that's in Scripture. It's not dirty. It's pure. It's holy. It's between a husband and wife. It's not just some fling. Okay? He goes on to say, and I love this, it has to do with the kisses of wine. Listen to this. Let your wife's breast satisfy you at all times and to always be enraptured with her love. You know what that word enraptured is? It means intoxicated. It's just like we see back with the kiss of wine. We're to be intoxicated with our wife's love. Isn't that wonderful? We should all have that. To be enraptured, to be intoxicated with her love. That's why he says, let him kiss me with the kisses of my mouth, of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love you. And so we see here that there's this sweet fragrance of myrrh and frankincense that filled the room there. And she noticed it. You still put on a little cologne? Smell good? I think that's important as well. Man, I remember, you remember the teenage years, high school dating or whatever? Man, when you had hair, you had to have every hair perfect. Yes, there was a time Tina used to run her hand through my hair, but she only can do that on the side and maybe in the back now. You had to have remember that? Today, it's like anywhere your hair wants to go, look. But in those days, man, it had to be perfect. Remember those days, Jim? We had the dry look when you sprayed the hairspray on there and stuff. And you would not go out of the house unless you had everything perfectly, your outfit, you know, whatever you were wearing. And, oh, man, we were talking the other day joking as guys. If you had one zit, it was like it seemed this big, you know. It was only a little tiny thing as a kid, but, man, you were so self-conscious. You know, it had to be so perfect. But now it's the Archie Bunker look. Sleeveless t-shirt, the belly hanging out, the hairy chest, you know. Go back and do your first works. Clean up a little bit, shave. Take what bit of hair you have left and smooth it down a little bit. You know? Put on your best t-shirt, your dress t-shirt. You know? Look good. It's important to look good. Why? Because they do the same for you. You know? And that's what keeps that love relationship going. Sweet fragrance. Used to be Brute, Jade East. Old Spice. Some of the stuff anymore, you can smell coming about 15 minutes before the guy arrives, but smell good. This speaks of Jesus as well. Sweet fragrance of the Lord. The many scriptures that refer to him as just a sweet fragrance of myrrh and frankincense. At his birth, that's what they brought for him. And that's what they brought as far as spices to anoint him at his death, but as we know, he wasn't there. But myrrh and frankincense are just these beautiful oils that give off a beautiful fragrance. Because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love you, meaning that even when this king would come, that all the young ladies' hearts would flutter. And I'm sure many of them wished that they could become the bride of this king. And they were the ones that had the umbrellas and didn't want to get a tan and the whole thing. And lo and behold, it's this Shulamite woman that the king notices. Because of who she was, there was something special about her that just stood out above all of the other virgins, all of the other young maidens. Your name is ointment poured forth. That's important as well. Jesus is the sweetest name of all. But also for us, what is attached to our name? You know, what is it that people think of when they hear your name or my name? Should have something fragrant attached to it as a believer. Therefore, the virgins love you. Draw me away. Isn't that beautiful? Take me away. The daughters of Jerusalem, of course, were the virgins that were mentioned back in verse 3. We will run after you, meaning that they would follow after him as well. You can just see them all giggly and everything, and this handsome king. The Shulamite, the king has brought me into his chamber. And again, we see this beautiful picture, don't we, of this beautiful romance that God is orchestrating between this beautiful peasant girl, this Shulamite woman, and this handsome king. Notice, the daughters of Jerusalem, we will be glad and rejoice in you. We will remember your love more than wine. And again, we see this testimony of this king. The Shulamite, rightly do they love you? Meaning that, again, don't always look at this in the physical. There was just this love that they had for this king. And it says here, the rightly do they love you, because she, as the Shulamite woman, knew that he had a reputation that was worthy of their love. And it's not what we find today. In our society today, rightly do they love you. And notice we see here in verse 5 a description of herself. I am dark, but lovely. O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. Meaning that her skin was very dark. The tents of Kedar were usually made out of black goat skin. When you visit Israel, oftentimes you see the nomads and that are traveling in tents, and you look at their tents and they're black goat skin, even to this very day. And so oftentimes in this Song of Solomon, we find physical descriptions of things that we can relate to. And so if you'd ever seen the tents of Kedar, they were black from the goat skin, and meaning that her skin from the sun was just a dark tone from her tan. Do not look upon me because I am dark. Because the sun has tanned me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. So you can see they had these brothers making her do all the work. In the Cinderella story, of course, you remember it was her sisters that were the ones that treated her, you know, in a contemptuous way. And so here we see that it was her brothers that were angry with her. How sad. She had a sad life, working in the fields. Probably never ever thought that her king would come along one day. But lo and behold, I believe because of her commitment to God and because of her commitment to be faithful, even in doing the work that she had to do, and not only her own vineyard, which she could hardly keep up, but the vineyards of even her family, to keep the vineyards going. But my own vineyard I have not kept. And again, it refers to even her physical appearance, probably very plain, no frills, nothing fancy, no trip to the beauty shop, no spa treatment. But it just goes to show that the Lord is able to make this princess out of this peasant girl. That's the way God works. A diamond in the rough, if you would. Notice. To her beloved. Tell me, O you whom I love, where you feed your flock, where you make it rest at noon. For why should I be as one who veils herself by the flocks of your companions? And what we see here, those that veiled themselves in those days were the prostitutes. And they would go out looking for men amongst the sheep herders. And so she was very leery of how to find her king. Tell me, O you whom I love, where you feed your flock. She wanted to be able to go there and so that she would be able to find him when he rested at noon with his flocks. And not be like those that will go out and throw themselves at the shepherds that were in the field by the flocks of your companions. Now the beloved speaks. And what I notice about the Song of Solomon, a lot of the things that are said come from the Shulamite woman. He doesn't say really a whole lot, but it's almost she is the one that initiates the conversation in a lot of places. And so now he speaks. If you do not know, O fairest among women, follow in the footsteps of the flock and feed your little goats beside the shepherd tents. And so he tells her how to find him. But notice the language. Again, respect. If you do not know, O fairest among women. Wow. When's the last time you used that line on your wife, guys? Fairest among women. I know, I haven't used that one in a while, but I think I'll include that in my vocabulary now. Fairest among women. He says, follow in the footsteps of the flock and feed your little goats beside the shepherd tent. So there she is, this little peasant woman, a little flock of goats, following in the way that he told her to go, in the footsteps of the flock, his flock. Look at this. I have compared you, my love, to my filly among the Pharaoh's chariots. Now, that's not necessarily the language we would use today. You really wouldn't call your wife a filly amongst Pharaoh's chariots. But it's a beautiful picture. You see all these war horses and the chariots, and then there's this beautiful filly that stands out from amongst all of the other horses, and that's what he's talking about there. This is actually a compliment. You know, we use different terminology today. So here we see that she was a filly, this little filly. That's not a bad term. My little filly, Tina, amongst Pharaoh's chariots. Your cheeks are lovely with ornaments. Your neck with chains of gold. And so again, he describes almost even the line of her neckline, you know, where with these lovely ornaments that they wore and the chains of gold and all. And he noticed her cheeks. I'm sure they were pretty tan as well, as her whole body was dark, as we see. The daughters of Jerusalem, we will make you ornaments of gold with studs of silver. They kind of chime in here, offering to make her jewelry. And now the Shulamite woman speaks again. While the king is at his table, my spikenard sends forth its fragrance. She had her perfume on as well. And again, guys, do you know what your wife's favorite perfume is? For 38 years, it's been Jungle Gardenia for Tina. And as a matter of fact, her wedding bouquet was gardenias. That's her favorite scent. And hits my hot button too, that little gardenia smell, that fragrance, you know? I like it. Yeah. My spikenard sends forth its fragrance. And so again, gals, put a little perfume on there. Hit his hot button. A bundle of myrrh is my beloved to me that lies all night between my breasts. And again, we can see the intimacy and the love. The sweet fragrance of romance that they have. My beloved is to me a cluster of henna blooms in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Now, again, you got to be there to experience it. Because when you go to En-Gedi, which is above the Dead Sea, there's this beautiful valley that goes right up into the mountains. It's called En-Gedi, and that's where David fled from King Saul. And there's beautiful waterfalls up in there, and there's henna bushes everywhere. There's little rock badgers, and there's mountain goats, and it's an absolutely beautiful place. But it's almost like the myrrh or the henna bush is almost along the same lines. You just take it and you crush it in your hand, and it's just got this sweet fragrance. Same with myrrh. Myrrh needs to be crushed in order to break forth with the beautiful aroma that comes with it. And so we see the bundle of myrrh. We see the cluster of henna blooms and the vineyards of En-Gedi. And so, you know, it's just a beautiful picture of even the fragrances of this wonderful relationship that they have. Verse 15, now the beloved speaks. Behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes. And again, in those days, it was the Syrian dove is the term that's used here. And there's this beauty about the eye of the Syrian dove that is so incredible that Solomon writes about this dove's eye in this beautiful song of Solomon. You have dove's eyes. Behold, her turn, the Shulamite says, you are handsome, my beloved. Yes, pleasant. Also, our bed is green, and the beams of our houses are cedar, and our rafters of fir. And so again, we see the description of all of these beautiful things. As a matter of fact, even the beams in the house was cedar. Have you ever been in a house that had cedar beams or cedar wood in it? There's just this beautiful smell, beautiful aroma. Even cedar chest. It used to be that young gals, before they got married, they put together a cedar chest, and they had all of these things that they would, you know, store away until that wedding day. And cedar wood gives off just a beautiful aroma. And so you can imagine here these beams of cedar and then the clusters of henna and the fragrance of myrrh and all of these beautiful things you can just see how it just magnifies your senses. Verse 1 of chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. And again, just the terminology is absolutely beautiful. And the rose in and of itself is beautiful, from the valley of Sharon or Sharon, and the lily of the valleys as well. Again, beautiful flowers that give beautiful aromas, and again, that just the senses just go crazy. The beloved, like a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Meaning that this Shulamite woman stood out over all of the other ladies. She was a lily among thorns, and so is my love among the daughters. Like an apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down in his shade with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. And again, what a beautiful picture here. Amongst all of the trees in the woods, there was this one apple tree. They give off beautiful shade, just a delightful shade. And if you've ever gone out and picked apples off of trees right out in the orchard, there's nothing more fresh when it comes to apples than picking one right off the tree. And she says here that his fruit was sweet to my taste. The Shulamite to the daughters of Jerusalem. Now she's going to speak to the young maidens. He brought me to the banquet house, and his banner over me was love. Sustain me with cakes of raisins. Refresh me with apples, for I am lovesick. Man. She really had it good, didn't she? She was lovesick, and she needed cakes of raisins and apples to give her strength again. And notice she says, he brought me to the banqueting house. He brought her to where they would dine, where they would banquet with all of the friends and all of the relatives to introduce her to everyone. And his banner over me was love, meaning that his love was just so evident in his relationship with her that it shone forth like a banner. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand embraces me. And here we see how he treats her with tenderness, with just tender hands and loving hands. So important as well to be gentle, guys, to be tender, to be sensitive, to be loving to the one that you love. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the does of the field, do not stir nor awaken love until it pleases. And what she is saying to the daughters of Jerusalem is, save yourself. Don't give your love away until the time comes, until the right time, until the appointed time, is what she's saying there. Do not stir nor awaken love until it pleases. Do it God's way. Don't rush into a love relationship. Make sure you keep it pure and holy before Almighty God. That's so important, so important. The beloved's request, the Shulamite. The voice of my beloved, behold, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He is looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice. Here he comes, this young man. Remember those days, guys, when you had the V shape? Now it's up here, just tends to be down here, you know? But here he comes, the beloved, leaping upon the mountain. You can just see this guy, just like in the movies, you know? Like a gazelle or a young stag, sure-footed mountain goat. Here he comes. And he stands behind the wall. She sees him coming, this handsome king. Looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice. My beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. How cool is that? You know? Just this love that he had for her. Rise up, come away with me. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. It's a beautiful time of the year, isn't it? When spring comes, all of a sudden things begin to blossom. The flowers appear in the earth. The birds sing louder. The rain is over and gone. And you can hear the little turtle dove. And all of a sudden, the fig tree puts forth her green figs and the tender grapes and all. And there's just something beautiful and fresh and romantic about spring. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. I think that's important as well in marriage today, is that you get away together. Sometimes we can get busy. You know, some of you young folks raising kids and all, and man, it's just one thing after another, and but you need to take that time away. You know, make time to get away together. It's hard sometimes, and it takes an effort. Get the grandparents to watch the kids, or whatever, just for a couple days to get away. And guys walk into her one Friday evening and say, come away, my love. You know, my fair one. And then again, when she gets up off the floor after you put the paddles. It takes an effort, it really does, to keep that romance going. And it's hard, no matter what age you are. Whether you're newlywed, you know, just getting started, you need to continue to do the things throughout all of those years that you did before. You need to spend time together. And you know what? It doesn't really cost a lot to get away. And to get away doesn't mean you have to go and spend a whole lot of money just doing stuff and being entertained. To get away means just to get away and to maybe walk along the beach, maybe hold hands, maybe communicate, maybe take a hike, whatever it is. It doesn't cost a whole lot of money. Guys, find out what she likes to do. You should know by now anyway. And spend time on your vacation or that time away doing what she likes to do, not just what you like to do. It's kind of funny because oftentimes the first place I head when we get away is to the Yellow Pages, to find out where every thrift store is, because I know that she loves to go thrifting, and we'll spend the whole day going thrift stores, and then we get to do what I want to do. You know, it's important. Do stuff together. And we end up going to a ball game or something. And, you know, I love the fact that she loves to do what I love to do, and I love to do what she loves to do. And guys, it takes an effort. You know, deny yourself and go and let her do the things that she likes to do and spend that time together. Time really doesn't cost anything, does it? Just getting away, romancing, holding hands, enjoying one another. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Isn't that romantic? Wow. Man. Maybe you just ought to go somewhere and open up this chapter and read it to her. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Her brothers, here they come. They throw a damper on things. Catch us the foxes. The little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. When you get back to the vineyard, you know, the grapes are laying on the ground. In those days, you had to go through and dress the grapes by picking them up off the ground and putting a rock or something under to keep them off the ground so that the little foxes didn't eat all your grapes. So here they come. They throw a damp. Here it's, oh, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. And your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. And all of a sudden, here come the brothers. Catch us the foxes. The little foxes spoil the vines. Our vines have tender grapes. The Shulamite. My beloved is mine, and I am his. How awesome is that? You read all through Scripture about that relationship that God desires you to have. The Apostle Paul tells us, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, guys, your body is not your own, it belongs to your wife. And their body is not their own, it belongs to the husband. That's nice, the way God arranges that, you know? To have that wonderful relationship one with another. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feeds his flock among the lilies. Isn't it wonderful that God has given you a gift in your spouse? Mine, all mine, belongs to me. And the next time maybe you're sitting on the couch, guys, and she walks by, just be mindful of just this verse here. She's mine. She's all mine. She belongs to me. And sometimes I'll be thinking that in my heart and in my mind, and I'll go, thank you, Lord, for the gift that you've given me. She's mine. She's all mine. And that's so important to recognize and to give thanks for the precious gift that God has given you in your wife, guys, and in your husband's gals. He feeds his flock among the lilies. To her beloved, until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag upon the mountains of Bethair. So we'll close. Wow, 2 minutes early, got through two chapters. Wonderful book. And you know, in going through this, I'm thinking, wow, how far we have drifted in America from God's plan, God's design for a loving, holy, pure marriage relationship. And I would hope tonight that this just isn't another Bible study. That this just isn't, you know, a time to sit here and blush and chuckle about these pure and holy things that God desires for us to have in our spiritual and physical relationship with our spouse. But I would hope this would prod us, that this would encourage us to go back and do our first works in that love relationship that God has blessed us with. And just remember, when you leave this place, guys, she's your beloved, and you're hers. Gals, you remember the same thing. He is your beloved, and you are his. What a wonderful gift God has given us to have a wonderful marriage relationship. And I would pray for each and every marriage in this room that we would go back and do our first works. And this isn't a bunch of things that we as guys need to just point out to our wives. That's not what this is all about. This is speaking to us as what we should be doing as married men. And let the Holy Spirit deal with her. You know what I mean? And if us guys will do our parts and the ladies will do their part, man, it's going to be incredible what God will do in our married lives. Because marriage is a very, very special and precious gift from God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for this wonderful song. And may it be a song in our heart, Lord, And may we go back and be mindful of just the things that we've seen and learned here tonight. The words that we choose to our spouses, may they be pure and holy. May they be romantic. May they be blessings. Lord, may we take the things that we've learned and apply them to our lives. I pray, Lord, for every marriage here tonight, that you would strengthen, that you would just bless, that you would just pour out your love upon every couple here tonight, that you would give them that great joy, that their kisses would be sweeter than wine, and Lord, that they would recognize and realize that they belong one to another in you. And so again, thank you for tonight, for your word, for the worship, for the time of fellowship. Lord, we love you and thank you for the gift of marriage. And I pray for the single people. I'm not going to leave them out. I pray, Lord, that this would be the blueprint for them. And waiting upon you to bring that person that you created before the foundation of the world to be their spouse. That you would give them patience, that you would give them peace, that they would keep their eyes fixed on you, Lord, and you alone, that they would not be led astray or schmoozed by some smooth talker, but they would be found about your business, Lord, and that you would bless them according to your perfect will and your perfect timing with a perfect, perfect marriage spouse, partner, according to biblical standards. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand one more time.